Exodus chapter 20, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Very important. Think about this now. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And the people, notice again here in verse 21, stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up any tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, thank you, dear God, for the power of these scriptures. And Lord, I ask, dear God, again for your help. Lord, we approach a very sacred subject tonight, dear God. And Lord, we are taking this month, and we've decided to challenge the church to climb a mountain that, very honestly, very few people ever climb. And I pray, Lord, that you would make this church and this congregation an exception to that. Lord, put within our hearts a hunger for God. And Lord, a desire to draw near you, draw nigh to you, to know you. And Lord, I pray, dear God, in response to that, as you've promised in your word, that you would reveal yourself to us, each of us individually, in a unique way, perhaps in a special way that we've never known you thus far in our Christian life. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would have a mountaintop experience. Lord, with you this month, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me lay a little bit of groundwork here, and if you'll just listen on purpose for the first 5, 6, 7 minutes, I think after that, for the most part, I think I'll be able to keep your attention. Listen on purpose, please, and let me just say some things about God. First of all, God is invisible. He is called in the scriptures the invisible God, Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible. God created, when he created creation, he created a visible creation and an invisible creation. He is the invisible creator who created both. he chooses to remain unseen by men. Now, think about that. You say, have you ever wondered, God, why don't you just come down and settle this thing? I mean, I know how to put the critics to silence and expose the atheists, and I know how to turn all the world to you. Why don't you just come down and show yourself? Now, listen very carefully. There's a reason that he cannot and will not do that. First of all, there's two reasons. The atheist may say, well, if God wants us to believe in him, then why don't he just show himself to us face to face? Two reasons. Number one, because we wouldn't live to tell about it. One of the things we're going to see in the scriptures tonight, that if you ever, while you're in your mortal body, had a face-to-face encounter with God, you would not live to tell of it. You would die, because you know what, folks? I don't think we really understand the holiness of God and the sinfulness of men. And the Bible supports that. A man who says, I've seen God, is lying, because you know what? If he did, he wouldn't be alive, all right? So number one, because we wouldn't live to tell about it. But number two, and perhaps most importantly, because that would nullify the need for faith. Now listen, folks, God is God, and he gets to set the rules, and he sets the parameters of our relationship. And this is what he says. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, God absolutely insists that if you're going to have a relationship with him, it must be based on faith. And if you see something with your eyes, you no longer need faith. But if you are not allowed to see it, you must choose to believe by faith in God. And so God has chosen and set the parameters of the relationship with him. He holds in high esteem faith, and he rewards greatly those who will love him and serve him and accept him as their personal savior by faith. And God is not going to change the parameters of our relationship. So God is invisible. No man has ever seen God's face. God has never revealed himself to man in all of his power and glory. No man has ever seen the face of God. The Bible says it's impossible for mortal man to see God face to face and live. Moses, who we're going to look at tonight, probably came the closest to seeing God's fullness. But as we'll see, even then, God had to protect Moses, protect him, by allowing him to only see what the Bible calls the back parts, or the afterglow of the glory of God. Although the presence of God was revealed to people as he descended upon Mount Sinai, He was shrouded in clouds. He was shrouded in darkness. He was shrouded in lightnings and thunders. Barriers were put up to prevent any of the people from breaking forth and seeing the fullness of God. Why? For their own protection. If they had done so, they would have died. And so when God did come down to earth to meet with men, barriers were set up. And he came that day. Now, I want to walk you through some things. And we're going to, for the most part, be in Exodus. But I want to, let me tell you where we're going. Now, let me see if I can get your attention and hold it now. Folks, I want you to understand that I understand that even though we're going to use the precepts and principles from this story in the Bible, I know that, you know what, because of Jesus Christ and because of his shed blood on Calvary, and those the end of those 3 hours of darkness, the veil of the temple was rent. And you know what, we don't have to have a priest to go into the Holy of Holies for us. We get to go boldly into the presence of Almighty God. So what Moses got to do, let me say this, folks, is not just available to preachers, not just available to prophets, not just available to those in full-time Christian service. It's available to every single person in this room today. What we see Moses get to experience, if you want to, you can experience because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I know we're in Old Testament, and I know the parameters of the relationship with God was different. But let me say this, folks. We can look at Moses and we can say now in this time, New Testament age, if Moses was allowed to do that because of Jesus, I can do the same thing, because God is no respecter of persons. And so I want you to keep that in mind. In Exodus chapter 20, we see some interesting things. In verse number 18, we see that all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and noise of the trumpet. Now, folks, watch this. And the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood where? Where did they stand? Afar off. Okay, now listen carefully. Keep that in mind. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Now, I understand, like I said, folks, the parameters were different. But can I tell you, in a real sense, I feel like that there is an element of the New Testament church that kind of wants the same relationship with God that they had in the Old Testament. It's almost as if too many church members got this mentality of, preacher, you go meet with God, and you have that supernatural encounter, and then you come back and let me know what he says. Now, I'm going to challenge you in this area, and I'm going to challenge that thinking. First of all, folks, listen to me. I don't have any more or less access to God than you have if you're a born-again Christian. The same Holy Spirit that indwells me indwells you. The same blood of Jesus that rent the veil in twain and allows us access into the to come boldly into the very throne of grace. Listen, that's not a preacher invitation. That's God's people invitation. That's for all God's children. Now stay with me here because I want to help you with something. However, let me say this. I believe there's reasons, if we'll face them, why the average church member today would just prefer an Old Testament relationship with God. Because see, folks, listen to me. If you're going to get near God, and if you're going to really commune with God, watch this, let me say it. If you're going to have a supernatural encounter with God, it costs something. It costs something. Now, stay with me because I want to finish this verse, and we're going to use this and take off then. The Bible goes on to say in verse 20, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before you, that ye sin not. Now notice this, verse 21. I'm going to read it and I'm going to give you a challenge here. Watch this. And the people stood where? Afar off. But notice Moses. And Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Now are you picturing this? Here God is available today. We're in a different dispensation. God's available today to each and every single one of us. And yet, we as Christians, even those that are God's people, have to make a choice. When God comes down in power, when God makes available his presence, when God gives the invitation to commune directly with him, I see more Christians today that would prefer to stand afar off than they would walk towards the dark cloud where the presence of God is. You know what set Moses apart from all of these people? When God's presence showed up, everybody else wanted to get as far as they could away from it, except for one man who dared to walk into the presence of Almighty God. Let me just say this, folks. That's available to every single one of you today if you want it. And by the way, God wants it for you. And God has given you an invitation. And you can have a miraculous and personal and meaningful relationship with God. But you have to be willing to do what most Christians won't do. And that's when God's presence is available. You have to be brave enough to walk towards it and not stand afar off. Now, folks, listen to me. I've decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world where? The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. I'm nailing it, folks. I'm telling you why most Christians really don't want a supernatural encounter with God. Because if they had a supernatural encounter with God, they'd never, ever again be able to be satisfied with their worldliness and their shallowness and the carnality of their life. And it changes something fundamentally in your heart. Preacher, are you talking about salvation? I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation was simply you receiving the free gift of eternal life. But that is, that enabled you to have a meaningful relationship with God. It made it available to you, but isn't it sad that most Christians, I'm just saying that. Most Christians, I get a sense in this Laodicean age, they want to get close enough to God to snatch the gift of salvation, put it under their arm, and then they want to spend the rest of their life standing as far off away from God as possible because you know what? They don't want the world behind me and the cross before me. They want the world before me and the cross behind me. And listen, folks, this whole idea that you can mix worldliness and Christianity, that does not reckon with the Bible. There is a choice. God is holy. And the honest truth is most preachers, I'm going to say it, don't want to get all that close to God because there's too many things that they would have to change and sacrifice in order to be in the presence of God on a regular basis. Preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about climbing a mountain. I'm talking about how long has it been since you had a supernatural encounter with God? I'm asking you this, since you've been saved, have you ever had a supernatural encounter with God? Have you ever found yourself in the fullness of His presence? Have you ever got just a glimpse of the backsides of God, the back parts of God, the afterglow of the glory of God? Have you ever been in the presence? I mean, sequestered yourself on your face in the presence of holiness. Because I'm going to tell you something. It changed who you are. Let me say something, okay? You youngsters up here, I'm fighting for you. I'm fighting for every single one of you. What's the difference between kids that come up in this church and other churches? As soon as they get an opportunity to, they shoot in the world like they've been shot out of a cannon. Are they not saved? Are they saved? I don't know. God has to judge that. But I will tell you this, listen to me. I think that the real difference between a young person who just goes on for God and doesn't seem to miss a beat after they graduate, and the kids that are just buying their time to then go out and get in as much of the world as they can, is because this, let me say it to you. You know what? Somewhere along the line, God never really became real to them. They were my God, they're the preacher's God, they're mom's God, they're dad's God. But Brother David, they never had that super. I'm asking you teenagers this. I'm not talking about whether you've been saved or not. I'm talking about, have you ever had a supernatural encounter with a holy God? Have you ever gotten away from everything and away from your peers and away from your voices, the voices, and away from your Facebook page and away from your vibrating cell phones? Have you ever just said, I'm going to go find God. I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to know Him. Everybody else can stand afar off. I want to see what's in the dark cloud. I want to see Him. I want to know Him. This isn't just for teenagers. Come on now. Come on. This isn't a teenage message. Young adults, some of you, honestly, you're going through the motions. Listen, even the good people, let me just ask you if this is true. Even the good kids have been raised up here. Are you just doing what you're doing out of a sense of obligation to people that have invested in you? Or are you doing it because you've been in the presence of a holy God? And you know what? Watch this. You can't not do it now. Because I'm going to tell you something. You get in the presence of God, it'll ruin you. I'm telling you, it'll ruin you for the world. All of this arguing about nothing wrong with this, nothing wrong with that, nothing wrong, that's gone once you get into the dark cloud. You know what? You walk out of there, you're never going to be the same. You're never going to. Listen, the world will never have the appeal that it once had. I said, Christians, it's like they battled their whole life trying to fight from going into, you know what? Let me tell you how to win that battle. Get in the dark cloud. Go find some time and get in the dark cloud. See God. Know God. Touch Him and let Him touch you. I'm going to tell you some things change that'll never, ever, ever be the same again. Now, let me show you. Say, preacher, wait a minute. You sure this isn't just a Moses thing? You sure this is available to everybody? Let's go over to Exodus chapter number 33. Exodus chapter 33. And I want to show you a supernatural encounter that occurred between Moses and Jehovah God. And from this, we're going to pull principles that are very well applied to where we live today. And I promise you that I will not do damage to the scriptures. Everything I say and that we're going to see that's available to Moses, you can have. Watch this. Exodus 33, look if you will in verse number 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. By the way, He knows you by name too. See, there's nothing special about Moses here that's not the same for me and you. He not only knows you, He knows how many hairs are in your head. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. He knows everything there is. There's nothing about Jerry Ross that I can hide from God. He knows me inside out, upside down. He knows me from front to back, from start to beginning. He knows my past. He knows my present. He knows my future. God knows me. He knows me. See, that's another reason. We just soon hang around people that really don't know us than get in the presence of somebody that knows us. Now, stay with me here. Now, notice what Moses says in response to what God just said to him. Look at verse 18. This is important. And he said, speaking of Moses, and he said, I beseech thee, what does he ask? Show me thy glory. Now, stay with me. I'm going to give you some things to consider tonight. Number one, Moses saw the glory of God, watch this, because he asked to see it. Isn't that deep? Say, preacher, why was he afforded this opportunity? Because he wanted it? Because he asked for it? Now watch this, folks, stay with me. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Preacher, how close, watch this, how close can I get to God? As close as you dare to get. As close as you want to be. You think God's way off there? Just, you know, choosing a handful of favorites that get to come? You know what God, the Bible says that God goes to and for the earth and is searching to show himself strong on the behalf of those that seek him. Now stay with me, folks. God wants to see that one or two or three, or thank God every once in a while, and it can happen here. I'm telling you, it can happen here, where an entire congregation would say together, you know what? Let's go to the dark cloud, preacher. Let's go find God. Let's go do it. I mean, let's go see his presence. Let's get in his presence. Watch this, folks. Listen to me. Moses saw the glory of God because he asked to see it. The honest truth is, Jerry Ross is as close to God tonight as I want to be. And you are as close to God as you want to be. And if there got to be a hunger in your heart to see something of God and know God in a way you've never known him before, it's as, just as available to you as it was Moses in that time. So number one, Moses saw the glory of God because he asked to see it. But I want you to notice that there were parameters put on this. Moses was not allowed to see God in all of his glory, but he was allowed to see what I would call the afterglow or the back parts of God's presence. Look in verse number 19. This is how God's going to work this out, this encounter. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And so the Lord says in verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Now watch this, folks. No matter how close you want to get to God, how close you want his presence to be, let's understand this. There's a part of God and a way that we'll know God that we'll never know until we get in glory. I mean, one of these days, thank God, this sinful flesh will drop away. And we'll be able to finally be in the presence of a holy God and to know him as we are known. Now, folks, listen to me. That's exciting. But you know what? Let me just say this. We may be still somewhat limited, but we can get a whole lot closer to God than we are if we want to be. But Moses was not allowed to see God in all his glory. Now, that's exciting to me. Think about that. Well, God has said, I'm going to work out a deal with you here. Now understand something, I can't let you see my face and live. So this is what I'm going to do. Now verse 21, 22, 23, powerful, powerful, watch this. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And I believe right here, folks, we see a man, a human being, a mortal get as close to seeing God as any man ever got to experience. Now, I'm sorry, but I just like to kind of change that. I'm sorry, but I just like to say, well, Lord, come on now. You let Moses do it. You said you're no respecter of persons, God, and if you can let him see you in that way, you can let me see you in that way. By the way, this is a preacher talk. Boy, I'd love it to begin to burn in the heart of a young man or a young lady in this church that says, you know what? Some of you are so worried about how many friends you have, and you're not worried about the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I mean, you're so worried about being popular. Why don't you worry about seeing God? I mean, you get in his presence and all this nonsense, all this junior high elementary mentality junk, you know, who's the biggest kid on the playground at recess? What? All that junk goes away. You know why? Because you had a supernatural encounter with a holy God. Now watch this, folks. What an amazing encounter. Can you imagine this? Moses wants so badly to see the Lord that God grants him his request. But he says, listen, I can't let you see my face, Moses, because I'm not done with you yet. You know, isn't it exciting that when we breathe our last breath, I think we're going to look right into the face of a holy God, and everything that I was denied all of this time when I wanted to see him, I wanted to see him the way he was, and I can't yet, but one of these days I'm going to see him as he is. But I want to see everything I can. And so this is what God did. God said, I'll tell you what, you're going to stand upon this rock. Isn't that interesting? Now folks, listen, who's our rock? Jesus Christ is our rock. Let me just stop and say this. You are never going to have a supernatural encounter with God if you do not and are not truly born again. It starts and ends with Jesus Christ. It starts and ends with Jesus Christ. I say this from time to time. I don't try in any way to try to get people to doubt their salvation. But I'm going to tell you something. The hardest task in all of the world. Parents, listen to me. You sometimes expect the impossible from me and the impossible from our staff. You know what? I cannot develop the spirituality of somebody who's spiritually dead. And at some point, if some of these young people hung around here, and I mean for 2, 3, 5, 6, 8, 10 years, we've never been able to find a spiritual pulse. You know, they can tell me all the stories about how they got prayed when they were in first or second grade. But all I know is this, you can't grow something that's dead. You can't strengthen something that's dead. And you know what? The only one that can answer that question is you. You need to get before a holy God, first of all, and say, am I standing on the rock? Is there any desire in your heart? I mean, is anything? Listen, right now, I don't care how far away from God you may be, how much junk's built up in your life. I'm telling you right now, when we talk about this stuff, if there doesn't something start pounding down in your heart, there's probably a good indication that you're not even saved. You're not even in the family of God. Because there's within the heart of every saved person, I believe, a hunger and a desire, despite our sinfulness, despite our failings, despite how our shortcomings, there's within the heart of every Christian, down deep somewhere, a voice that says, I need God, I want God. You see. And so first of all, you've got to stand on that rock. That's what he said. Now he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. So if you look at that word cliff, it's talking about a little crevice or a crack in the rock. And he said, this is really amazing the way the Lord did this. And he said, Moses, because you want to see my glory, and because you've been obedient, and because you followed me, not perfect, Moses wasn't perfect. Come on, folks, we could build a case against Moses for being this man. But Moses, just because you got to a point where you got hungry enough to look at me and say, God, I want to see. I'm going to put you in the cliff of this rock. And then what I'm going to do, now think about this. God says, you step in there now, and then God puts his hand. And we're talking about God's hands, folks. Is that what it says here? Okay, I'm not making this up. So God's hand goes over the cliff of the rock. And then God walks by, and he stares at the cliff of the rock. And he stares, but he doesn't see Moses. He's staring. He's got his hand protected. If that hand wasn't there, Moses would be dead. That's been where they buried him, right there. And he looked right at the cliff of that rock, and just about the time he went by, in the fullness of his glory, he moved his hand. And Moses looked out. What he got to see was just the afterglow, the back parts. Not the face of God, but enough of the presence of God that, by the way, folks, I don't know if we'll get there tonight, but after he came down out of this experience, his face glowed. His countenance was changed. It scared the people half to death. You know what? Watch this. You want to make a church nervous? Have a preacher walk in that's been in the presence of God. I'm serious. You want to make a church nervous? I'm telling you, watch this. I've done this youth thing for a lot of years. Get 2 or 3 or 4 in the youth group that just decide they're going to go find God. Next thing you know, I got parents in my office wringing their hands like, "What? Something's wrong with my kid, and we've got to fix this. Preacher, you know, preacher, what are you going to do about these boys? They're jumping up and swinging their Bibles and saying amen. Come on, when are you going to fix that? I don't know. As soon as we can fix you rooting for your football team, the Indianapolis Colts. Come on now, or your IU Hoosiers. You know, you can get excited about that. You know, go down to high school and root for a bunch of teenage punks playing basketball and wear your colors and act the fool and paint your face. And that's all right. But let's not let these kids around get excited about Jesus. Come on, preacher. We got to do something about it. You know what you're nervous about? You're nervous because there's some things shining and it's making. Listen, you want to get them over here where you stand afar off. Get over here with the stand afar off crowd. Hey, where are you going? Come on back with them. What are you goody two-shoe? What are you, super Christian? What? I like this. What are you trying to do? Be spiritual? I don't know. What are you trying to do? Be carnal? And when is spirituality a bad thing? Would to God we could stand guilty of that accusation. I mean, goodness sake, people might say something bad about me on Facebook if I actually said amen in church or got excited or backed the preacher or got excited about a church plant or something going on around here. I mean, or had a positive. Come on now. Listen, you got to decide whether you want to hang out with the losers who just got close enough, if they did, to snatch the gift of eternal life, and now they just, you know, they're more interested in being in the world. Hey, why don't you see ya? I mean, it'd be like chains falling off of some of you young people. You are bound by chains that you've allowed a bunch of punks to put you in, and you take one step towards God, those chains would fall off, turn around and do this. Okay, goodbye, bye, bye, bye. You know, like that. And walk towards that dark cloud and get in the, and I don't care what they say, let them say it. I don't care what even church members say, let them say it. I mean, listen, there's some in that cloud that's going to change you. There's an encounter like you're never, listen, you're going to see something that most people will be born and live and die and never experience. Yes, and so he got in that cliff to the rock, and God says, you slide in there now, slide in, no peeking. And he walks past like that. Now, say, preacher, but he didn't get to see the face of God. Watch this. What did he see? He saw the hand of God. He saw the hand of God. Amen. You ever seen the hand of God? Come on now. Feel like kicking off my shoes here. I'm going to walk on some holy ground. You ever see the hand of God? This is just stories you read in a biography somewhere about what powerful thing God did at a certain place at a certain time, what meeting showed up to. Listen, folks, watch it. Most of you missed the revival. I didn't say you didn't come. I said you missed it. Because you pretty much just came in saying, you know, I'm going to pretty much leave Wednesday the way I came in Sunday. And guess what? You had no hunger. You didn't want to see. You know, you've arrived. You're there. You're the mark of spirituality. I mean, you're the most spiritual person on your Facebook group. I mean, you know, you're it, man. What I'm saying is this. Hey, come on. You ever seen the hand of God? Hey, Sunday school teacher, have you ever, could you stand if I told you, ask you tonight and said, I want you to give testimony of something that's happened in your Sunday school class in the last 12 months that nobody can explain but God, where the hand of God came down. Come on now, are you listening to me? Hey, bus captain, do you have any stories? Have you got any experiences on, hey, soul winners, when's the last time you had that supernatural thing that, you know what, you just sit back and go, are you kidding me? Like Brother Reiser called me yesterday, preacher, I got to tell you, I had a divine appointment. Have you ever had a divine appointment? Would you even know what the man's talking about? Okay, can I tell you this, folks? Listen to me. I'm not going to give personal testimony tonight. Because at this stage, anytime a preacher goes into personal testimony, it sounds like he's bragging. And listen to me. I want to tell you something. The quickest thing that'll kill God's hand upon you is pride. The Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. So preachers at this point want to get up and, you know, recount all that. But I'm going to tell you this. You listen to me. As I'm standing here, I've stood and watched the hand of God move. I've watched the hand of God provide in a miraculous way. I mean, folks, you know what? This church plant thing, I don't know how you, I think everybody's pretty good with whatever. If you got any hesitation, you understand the hand of God's already moving. There's already things that are happening that I'm just going, I'm like, what? Are you getting this? Are you listening to me? Listen, it's not just happens in a church plant. It happens on bus routes. It happens in Sunday school. It happens in congregations like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're so far off the map, folks. If anything happens in Jasonville, who's going to get credit but God? I mean, this don't make sense. I mean, you know, I love it because there's no human explanation for it. You know, everybody's on all of these websites that some of you are on declaring the death and planning the funeral of fundamentalism. Folks, listen to me. I want to attend that funeral, but every time I show up, the carcass doesn't show up. The corpse is out soul winning and running buses and doing what we've always done. A bunch of backsliders want to talk about how independent fundamental Baptist church today, they're dying. And you know why they want to sit there, get on that thing and say that over and over and over again? It's called guilt. It's called backslider guilt. That's what it is. Hey, folks, God's alive and well. And he's moving here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And miracles are happening. Hey, when have you ever seen the hand of God? When's the last time you seen the hand of God in your nursing home service? Are we just going through the motions? Are we just doing it in the power of the flesh? Do we never get into the dark cloud and then walk out of the dark cloud and minister to people? Listen, I'm telling you, there's a lot. Listen, miraculous, unbelievable, unexplainable, holy things happen when you walk out of the cloud and then go minister to people. And what I'm listen, I don't even know, folks. How do you explain this? How do you put it into words? You know what? All I can say is there's only one way to understand what I'm talking about, and that's experience it. And you're not going to experience it in carnality, and you're not going to experience it drenched in worldliness, and you're not going to experience it throwing away your standards and your separation from the world. You're never going to know it. You're never going to know it. And what we need to do is have an old-fashioned revival of holiness here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We need to change our mentality on things we've decided that are okay, that are not okay to be involved in. Listen, we've got to look at this. I won't have to argue with you about standards and dress standards if you'll go get in that cloud. I won't even have to have a talk with you about it. You won't be seeing how close to the line you can get if you go to get in the cloud. It'll change you. From the inside out, it'll transform you. I won't have to talk to you about Hollywood movies. I won't have to talk to you about rock and roll music, country music, 1,000 other kinds of music, all of it displeasing. I mean, come on now. I mean, all of this stuff, all this, listen, elementary level carnal junk that it seems like we spend half our time having to deal with and fight with Christians about. What? Go get into the dark cloud. Go get in the presence of a holy God. Well, have him put his hand over you. Have him walk past. I mean, have him show you a portion of his glory. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll walk away from that encounter and you'll never be the same. Moses was allowed to see the hand of God. Say, preacher, can I see the hand of God in God's working in my life? By the way, during our revival services, some of our young people got to see the hand of God. Some families in here got to see the hand of God. Some of them got, I mean, I've got people calling me and texting me, and I don't know if they really are excited about God or whether they just went out of school, but they're coming over from the school and saying, preacher, you got to listen to this. And young people telling me stories, tears running down their face. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Why don't you get on that? Why don't you stop criticizing that? Okay, why don't you stop bashing the kids that are trying to do right? Yeah, I'm a little sick and tired of that. It's amazing. You can't win no matter what you do. You can't win no matter what you do. You know, kids trying to do right, and people get on their pharisaical high horse and decide that they're going to be the target of ridicule and scorn at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let me just say this. Over my dead body, they will. If I hear about it, I'll come see you. Okay, listen, what are you afraid? Come on, let's pull it over. Let's pull the curtain back. Let's be real. What are you really afraid of? What are you really afraid of? What really bothers you about kids getting excited about God? Why does that bother you so much? All right, so what I'm saying is this. Man, get hungry for it. Get hungry for it. Moses was allowed to see the hand of God. Moses was allowed to see God in a new and powerful way. The Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up, Exodus 19:20. Boy, underline that one. Exodus 19:20. Let me read it again. The Lord came down upon Mount Sinai. God, come down, God. Please come down. On the top of the mountain, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Jehovah, called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. You're either going to go up or you're going down. You'll either go up or you'll go down. And all of a sudden, Moses was allowed to see God in a new and powerful way. Let me share you, okay? I won't be so mean for a second now. At some point in your life, you've got to get dissatisfied with your relationship with God the way it is right now, because you have not arrived. The person who needs revival the worst is the person in this room that does not think they need revival. The person who needs to discover the holiness of God, listen to me, is the good person in this room that thinks you're living a holy life. Come on now. And I'm glad for you, but I promise you, if you think you're holy and you think you're living a holy life and you think your family's all that, you better go in the dark cloud and look at holiness. Okay? Because you get like that and all of a sudden you get satisfied and all of a sudden you're the judge of everybody else that's not measuring up to you. You get in the presence of God and you get dissatisfied with yourself. And you're not worried about anybody else's shortcomings. You're focused on you. Because nothing exposes us for what we are and who we are as getting in the presence of a holy God. Listen, every single one of us in this room during the month of April, this is my prayer, needs to decide, you know what, it's been a long time since I walked back to the back 40 somewhere. It's been a long time since I went over Shackamack State Park, parked the car and got on a trail and went out to a secret private place in the woods and just got on my face and just said, God, I'm not going to leave here. I'm not leaving here till you do something. I'm not leaving here until you anoint me, you touch me, you change me, you do something supernatural. God, I'm not leaving here until you show up. Preacher, if I said that, I might not be able to keep your schedule. Well, you know what? On your schedule. Oh, God, I was going to get close to you, but Lord, you just don't understand. I just didn't, you know, I had all these things going. Are you kidding me? Let me ask you something. What's more important than God? Because whatever that is just became an idol in your life. Okay? Are you listening? Watch this. Come on now. Come on. You'll take a week's vacation so you can go to Six Flags. You walk around it with all the people that are in the water park and overdose your kid on carnality and nakedness. But you won't take a week off of work and go up and find some spot and clear off a path and say, I'm not going to come back to Blessed Hope Baptist Church until I'm different. I'm not going to come back to my family. I'm not going to listen, gentlemen, I'm not going to come back to my wife until my countenance has been changed and my heart's been changed. I'm not coming back to my husband until my countenance has changed. My children deserve a mom and a dad who know what it is to be in the presence of God. And so that's the goal for this month. Moses was allowed to see God in a new and powerful way. Moses' countenance was transformed by this encounter when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone. Exodus 34, 29 through 35. And Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak, he took the veil off until he came out. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses and the skin of Moses' face shone. Preacher, are you talking about some spooky thing? Where I'm talking about this, countenance. You hear what Brother Ron Comfort said in the revival meeting? Some of you sit out there and pulled your little one verse you got memorized in the Bible. He's got more than you, by the way, if you didn't notice. Thou shalt not judge. He said, I can walk into a Christian school and I can spend about 10 minutes and I can look and preach. Listen, folks, come on now. I preach in camps. I walk into a camp Monday night. I sit out there on the stage and I watch the kids. 10 minutes into my invitation, I know what I got. I know what I'm working with. I can divide them up into youth groups. I can tell you just about where everybody's at. Come on. Well, you think you know all that? Yeah, I do. It's called the countenance. And you know what? There's something you can't fake. I mean, listen, you know what's exciting to me? Get some of these young people, get the glow of God on them. I mean, good hand of God's upon them, brother. They got the glow of God on them. Come on, Brother Jack. Okay. Well, here's what I hear. Parents, stop defending your backslidden children. If you continue to defend them, you're never going to help them. You're not helping them by defending them. You're certainly not helping them by partnering with them and attacking spiritual kids. Wake up! Your kids are at stake. Wake up! Not a matter of defending them. I've had parents come to me and say, well, you just misread my daughter. She just doesn't have as an excited a person. No, I pretty much know a backslider in the way they look. I've been doing this for a long time. See, you're just blind. You just don't want to see it. But their countenances, by the way, I wish right now some of your parents could see the faces of your teenager right now. Because if you see what I was looking at, now they've changed it. But preaching like this reveals it. And people say, you know, I'll talk to preachers, all right? I'll talk to preachers, Brother Jesse. Let's say something. When I go preach in a camp, I think you'll get a chance one of these days. Just please, please, God help him. Don't wear that suit coat you wear this morning, please. Oh. All I could think of was that 70s song, The Candyman Can. Anyway, whatever. Makes the... Yeah, sorry. Whoosh, there went God. I'm gonna have to go find God again after this. He just took off, so... But I'm going to tell you something. Listen, you know what I do? I preach the Monday night messages. I do for a reason. Because you know what? I'll preach. You say, preacher, what do you do? I'm going to tell you my secrets. I will hit on certain things just so I know who I've got. I just want to see who I've got. And say, so what are you going to do? You know, listen, folks, I'm not doing it so that I can sit in judgment over them and say, well, that's who they are. I do it so I know how to pray. I do it so I know how to preach. I do it so that I can watch this, so that by the end of the week, I can watch God change that. I can watch the hand of God. Don't you hold your preacher back from doing what I'm doing. You criticize all you want. You ain't changing me. Okay? Have your little business meeting. Go find somebody else. But nobody's telling me when to preach, where to preach, how long to preach. Get over it. Okay? I got to come back here and preach to stone faces. I ought to be able to go somewhere and watch God change some people. Amen. You want me to stay here, then fill the altar up so I don't have to go somewhere else and watch it happen. Come on now. Amen. That's good stuff right there, brother. That's good stuff right there. I'm going in the dark cloud. Y'all deserve to have a preacher that goes into the dark cloud. Okay, but listen, how many of you parents, watch this, how many of you parents say, oh, I pray to God that my kid's Sunday school teacher before next Sunday gets in the dark cloud? How many of you would want that? You want a Sunday school teacher teaching your kids that's been in the presence of Almighty? Okay, three of you? Come on, do you want it or not? Yes, sir. All right, well, they need a mama that does that too. They need a dad. They need that worse. They need a Sunday school teacher that does it. Okay, amen. You want somebody working with your teenagers been in the dark cloud with the Lord? All right, I hope so. I hope so. You know, folks, listen to me. That's the challenge. We're climbing 12 mountains. Most of the other 11 mountains, the ones we've already tried to climb and the ones that are ahead, are dependent upon this one right here. Because everything changes when you get into the presence of God. Everything changes when you just tell the old carnal, wicked crowd, you know, y'all be what you want to be. I think I'll just go over here up on this mountain. And I'm just going to sit here and beg God to come down and show himself to me. And I know I can't see him as I'll one day see him, but man, if I could just see his hand, if I could just see part of his glory, after that, everything else in your life will be different. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, do a work of grace in our hearts through the preaching of your word and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Oh God, please, break up the fallow ground. Help us to get hungry for God. Help us to get hungry for God.